Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather Show. We're a little time delayed because yesterday I was out playing and having a good time in the summer midnights, I guess. Summer nights, soft summer nights. So we're a little delayed, and we're doing the show today. This is the Weekly Weather Show. What we do on this show is we talk to you about the weather in the heavens, how it feels, how you can use it productively or not productively, as you choose, with the idea being that the heavens above tell us what's going to happen in the week ahead or kind of give us the visual picture symbolically, and then we are free to choose how we want to use it, good, bad, indifferent, or just ignore it, you know, all our options. And so what I do every week is look at the heavens above and talk to you about the energy, what it feels like, how you can work with it, ways you might use it productively, ways might invite you to use it not so productively. And actually, we have a really interesting week this week because Eris, the goddess of discord, is stationing. So she actually kind of started last week. So if you found yourself feeling a little cranky, crabby towards the end of the week, you're riding with Eris's energy. If you're feeling a little out of sorts, a little discordant with the world, maybe perhaps a little irritated, kind of bothered by everything that's going on around you, you know, understand you're right in sync with the heavens. I have a friend who, when something's going on, she'll go, "Really? I mean, really?" And that's the kind of response you're going to take this week, okay? You don't have to bite. You don't have to go into it. But Eris likes to provoke. She likes to poke you. She likes to go, wah, 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 wah. She likes to say nasty things and make you feel upset. And she likes to, she knows, you know, that you, what you really want, and she knows how to kind of push your buttons. She's not a nice goddess. You know, Mike Brown, who's the guy who's been finding all these things with the Hubble telescope, him and his team, you know, he's the American group that are finding him, and then, of course, other people are looking in the heavens, too. Since the Hubble's been launched, there's been a lot of new things found up there in the last 10 years. And what astrologers notice is when planets are discovered or found and then named, that the energy of the planet corresponds to the energy that we experience down here on Earth. So for many, many thousands of years, the only planets were the big seven, you know, through Saturn. And the days of the week are named for them. Monday, Moon Day, Tuesday, Mars Day, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, Wednesday's Mercury's Day, Thursday's Jupiter's Day, Friday is Venus's Day, Saturn Day is, of course, Saturday, and the Sun's Day is Sunday. So the planets named the weeks. And then in the 1700s, they discovered Uranus because they developed telescopes. And they went, wow. And they said, well, you know, I guess we can break free because Uranus was the principle of freedom. And he broke the existing structure of the solar system that had existed as far as we knew for thousands and thousands of years. When we noticed up in the heavens, we never saw him before. And he comes in like a little wild guy and breaks everything up. So he's given the energy of the revolutionary planet. Then behind him, Neptune was discovered in the 1800s, which when they discovered, there were microbes that caused infections that made people die. And they discovered penicillin, and they saw these little critters, and they went, wow, there's a smaller world, too. And then Pluto, of course, was 1930s, and he heralded in delving into the unconscious, the Freudian Jung in psychotherapy, psychoanalytic, looking at what your unconscious motivations were and your drives, as well as the discovery of nuclear power and how to harness breaking the atom up into things for productive uses and, of course, to kill ourselves if we wanted to. So that's pretty much, you kind of sat there for a long time. Wasn't a whole lot going on for a while. Admittedly, the asteroids were all discovered in 1800, 1801 to 1804, the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, and they were noted as when the women's liberation or the women's movement really kind of started in earnest. They were all named for women, the first big four. And then in 1977, Chiron was discovered, and he looks like the handicap symbol. If you look at him kind of closely, he's got that little wheelchair thing. And he indicated us, had us start looking at differently abled people in a new way. And he also let us know about our soul wound, the wound that never really actually heals, that we're here to work with on a collective level, as opposed to the local wound, the Saturnian wound, the wound from our family, which is the Saturn wound. So those guys were all discovered. It was quite quiet up there for a while. I discovered a couple more, you know, centaurs. And then in 2000, the Hubble telescope got launched, and all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. Now, Mike Brown noticed that there weren't very many girls, so he decided he was going to make more female energy in the heavens, and he started looking around, because pretty much the Roman and the Greek pantheon was used up. He started looking around for other goddesses and naming the things that he discovered out there after them. But he's not picking the nice ones. He's picking the ones that have kind of really dark, scary stories. And Eris, of course, is one of the nastier ones. She was Mars's sister, and she's the one who's stopping this week. Now, when a planet stops, we really get to see their energy at work in the world. So she's the goddess of discord. Now, here in the United States, we're having all these arguments about the debt ceiling and raising the ceiling, and people are just kind of out of control. The haters are going crazy. We had a little boy killed in Brooklyn. He was cut up into pieces, and yes, Eris was active in his chart, and put in the refrigerator. His feet were in the freezer, and the crowd wanted to lynch the guy, you know, when they were taking him into court. It's a discordant, bloodlust kind of energy. It wants the lust. It likes the blood. She was Mars's sister, and she has two versions. One where she dances in the joy of war. She just loves to, you know, loves maiming and blood and gory and guts. You know, that's one part, which, of course, is not that pleasant. But that also indicates we're going to have some kind of terrorist activity this week. Then again, the question is, when don't we have terrorist activity since Eris was discovered? Then the other thing she does is she makes you jealous, okay? This is the part of her that's a little nicer. She makes you aware of what you really, really want, and she denies it to you. You know, she doesn't give it to you. She provokes you and then says, and you can't have it because I have it. Now, remember, her big story, you know, in the mythology was she's the one that started the Trojan War. She was such a difficult character, she wasn't invited to the christening of a party. So what she did was she threw a golden apple into the party, and she said, this is for the most beautiful goddess. Right? So Zeus was like, I'm not biting on that one, man. So he gets Paris, who was a little shepherd, in and says, Paris, you get to pick who's the most beautiful. And Paris is like, can I divide the apple in half? And the three goddesses go, no, you have to pick one of us. And Zeus goes, you're on your own, big guy, you know. And so he kind of sits there and he holds the apple and he looks and they make their pitch. And so Hera says to him, I will give you power. You'll have a huge power over the world. And then Athena says to him, I will give you wisdom and strategy and brilliance. And then Aphrodite says to him, I will give you the most beautiful woman in the world. Well, we all know what Paris picked. Right? He picked the most beautiful woman in the world, pissing off the other two goddesses. So they wandered off to plot his demise. And, of course, the most beautiful woman in the world happened to be married to somebody else. So when Paris got her as his wife, because the goddesses said so, it started the Trojan War, which went on for 10 years, fighting over this married woman that the goddesses had determined went to him and then provoked this huge problem. So what can happen with Eris, and you want to be really careful because when she's stopping, what it can do is it can provoke a war that goes on for 10 years. And she also can just really get your goat, right? Because what she knows is what you want. And then she goes, and you can't have it. Or she goes, I have it, and you don't. There's a gloating energy to her energy where she knows you want to be the most beautiful goddess in the world. She knows you want to get that promotion that you're up for and that other guy wants it too. Or she knows that what you really, really want is to get into this, you really, really, really want this job. And she basically says, I know you really want it and I'm going to thwart you. Or I'm going to make it just out of reach enough. Or I'm going to make it hard for you to get there. So what happens is people get really irritated whenever she's around. And interestingly, this week, all the personal planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, talk to her. Okay? Now, Mars talks to her productively, but of course, it's his sister. You know, and there's that blood bond that goes with siblings. So Venus, however, is having a fight with her. Okay? Venus is squaring Eris. And Venus is in kind of a whiny sign right now. She's feeling really sensitive. She's in the sign of Cancer. right now, today, she's in Pisces, so she's really feeling deeply emotional. I just had breakfast with a friend of mine, and she was like, I feel like I'm going to burst into tears at any moment. And I'm like, well, yeah, moon's in Pisces, you're feeling really emotional. And you're not getting, you know, just kind of a discordant, unsettled kind of energy. When the moon goes into Aries later in the week, of course, the moon is going to have been fed by Eris and is going to be highly stimulated to be a little bit more mean-spirited when she goes into Aries at the back end of the week. But right now in Pisces, she's really just feeding the discord, feeding that sense of anxiety, feeding the, gee, I'm not really feeling really happy right now. Why am I off? Now, the way this energy works, you kind of want to look at Eris, because what she does is she lets you know what you really want, okay, by making you unhappy in her higher form. I mean, your other form, she just blows things up. So, you know, that one we're not even going to go near because whatever. But in the higher form, she says, let me let you know what you really want by making you unhappy. Now, humans are pretty much creatures of habit. We don't generally change unless we have to or unless we're forced to. I mean, sometimes we do. But more often than not, we kind of get prodded into it. You know, we get settled in. We like our spaghetti and meatballs on Tuesday nights, and heaven forbid if we have chicken. So Eris really just pokes at the part of you that is unsatisfied. So if you're personally feeling unsatisfied, the best thing to do is to ignore her and to sit and go, why am I feeling so unsatisfied? What actually do I want from this situation? And invariably, you're going to come up with something that is tied to a very, very deep wish in your chart. Now, if you have planets in the 20s of Aries, it'll be tied to that planet, okay? If, because Eris is stationing at 22. If you simply are in a discordant place, Eris is stopping, and she is pointing out the discordant energy and saying, wow, you know, that didn't feel so good. Now, we watch her because what she lets us do is get in touch with that sense of unease. And it also, right underneath the unease, underneath the discord, underneath sometimes the anger or the sense of despair, because sometimes she does despair too, we get to, wow, you know, that's a really deep wish. You know, that's a really deep, deep wish of mine that I have, and it's not being answered right now. And that can bring up melancholy. That can bring up sadness. That can bring up, you know, on the surface, all these other things are great, but there's this really deep fundamental wish that isn't being answered, and Eris points that wish out to you and says, see? And then she, you know, she's mean, so she goes, and you're never going to get it. Now, that part's not true. Okay, just know when she says that, you're never going to get it. That's just her being mean, spirited, and nasty. But she's making you aware of the fact that you don't have it, right? That it's not yours. Those goddesses that went off to plot the Trojan War, or to plot the revenge for Paris not picking them, right? That's Eris. They were motivated by being upset that they weren't picked. And, of course, you know, Juno, her husband, didn't even pick her. You know, he could have. He could have said, my wife gets it, you know, a little nepotism there, and he didn't even step in, so she was really mad. It's understanding that when this energy arises, we look around at what other people have, and we go, I want that, and I don't have it. Now, sometimes you never are going to get it, okay, because it's not in your chart, and it's a deep wish, and it's indicated by your Saturn or your Chiron, that, you know, saying, no, this really isn't your chart this time around. Other times, it's a deep wish that you've pinned on somebody else, and they aren't going to give it to you because they can't, they won't, they're jealous of you, they're competitive with you, they're paying attention to what you have, and they're trying to compete with you. We don't really know, but we do know when the discord gets stirred, the best option is to sit in it and look at it and allow it to settle. And allow it to clear enough so that you can see it. Now, the hard part is Eris is in a fire sign. So we want to take action. We want to... And we really are better off just saying, really, what's my bigger purpose here? What's my bigger vision? What do I do? So that's how you handle it if Aries is stirring in you. If someone has physically hurt you or threatened you or choked you or something rotten to you, and you see them coming by your house this week, go the other way. Have your button ready to press 911. Don't deal, because this is the kind of energy where her lower forms, she cuts people up into little parts like that guy did last week with that kid in the refrigerator. And that was the sun squaring Aries last week. So she's, you know, she's not a nice. She's not a nice girl. So you want to be careful of your physical safety. No mouthing off, you know, road rage stuff. Big week for road rage. No picking a fight with someone that you don't know, because they might be crazy and want to shoot you because they're mad at something else. Recognize everybody else is running with this energy. So people are a little crazy this week. So, you know, just kind of going, okay, thanks, bye, and walking away. You know, don't engage. Just kind of walk away. Even saying, like my friend does, really? I mean, really? That is provocative under this energy, okay? If someone wants to have a fight with you, and that can also be another way it shows up, they're in the mood to fight with you, and you don't, you know, you're just kind of sitting there, and they come over and they whack you. You know, it's kind of like, this is always a big week for cat fights at my house, because the cats fight each other on this energy. And little old Max was picking a fight with Handsome last night, and I'm like, wow, because he's the Taurus, he doesn't normally fight. But his ruler is coming to square Aries, so he's in the mood to pick on Handsome. Handsome usually wins, just, you know, in terms of the fisticuffs in my house, but Max is picking a fight. So if someone's in the mood to pick a fight with you, again, don't go there, you know, unless you really want a good rip-roaring, clear the energy, blast their doors off kind of thing. Let them sit in their own discord, because they're irritated, crabby, cranky, and they're coming over to you and picking a fight with you, right? Because they want to discharge their crabby, cranky energy into you. We call it garbage dumping, okay? They come over and they dump a pile of garbage in your yard, and you're in charge of then cleaning it up. Don't even accept it. Just say, the yard is closed. I don't want to talk about it, if they want to fight with you. If there's someone that comes over and goes, gee, you know, I'm kind of in the mood. I'm really having a really hard time. I'm in this power struggle with this situation, and I don't know what to do about it. Then you want to point out to them the rules of Aries, what she's showing them, so that they can sit in their discord and not choose to fight, but choose to look at what the deeper wish is underneath. Because Aries knows what you want, and she knows how to say, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, you're not going to get it, right? So point that out to them. But that's part of what they're feeling, is the denial of something that they feel is very important to them or deeply desired by them. Now, I will say this is going to be a rough week for relationships. We're going to have quite a few blow up, because Venus is coming to square Aries after she stations, right? And also, she's going to form an inconjunct to the nodes of destiny, meaning she's going to be in a psychological position to look at the path that she's taking, and she's going to go, I don't think this is going to work for me, right? And right after she forms that inconjunct, Mars comes along and goes into the south node, triggering the eclipses, right? And also releasing something. So Venus is going to have an awareness where she looks at what's coming and she goes, wow, I don't think they can do this. You know, the discord surfaces into clarity of emotions. And the North Node ruled by Sagittarius with Jupiter in Taurus deeply wants, you know, Taurus is a possessive little sign. And in the case of my cat, Max, he's like, everybody has better food than me. Now, they all get the same can divided in three parts. Last night, he knocked Handsome out of the way and ate Handsome's pill. And I'm like, Max, and I couldn't get him to stop. He was not putting that pill down. As far as he was concerned, that was his pill, and he was eating it, damn it to hell. Now, he doesn't have arthritis, so he really doesn't need the pill. But he was like, I'm eating it. You know, and so the energy is possessive, too, because it's Taurus, it's Jupiter trine to Pluto. It's possessive and obsessive. So our job is to say it's possessive, obsessive energy about our emotional needs not being met. And we're going to realize on a psychological level that they're really not being met, and we have to change our behavior, Mars and Gemini, or we have to take a different approach, Mars and Gemini, or we have to let it go, Mars going into the south node, release, release. So the combo of the week is a little harsh. Once the moon goes into Aries at the back end of the week, she's going to go through that gauntlet of the T-square from last August, right? So her first up, she's going to join with Uranus, then she's going to square Pluto, and then the next day she's going to oppose Saturn. And so the moon in fast-moving, quick, desiring, high, wanting to be first, me, Aries, is going to be thwarted right after she gets highly stimulated by playing with Eris. So it's kind of a hard week, but it's a hard week in terms of clarifying what you want. For people that aren't attuned into what the astrology is, they're just going to be in the mood to fight. So you kind of want to just, you know, avoid them. I always find it's best to avoid people in these kind of situations. But then again, I'm a Pisces moon. I like to swim away. You might want to get into a rip-roaring fight. This could be the week where you just, you know, you've been taking it and taking it and taking it, and you can't stand it a minute more, and you're going to let them have it. but it also is about getting in touch with the deeper fear, you know. And if you know that that's what Eris is doing, that she wants to inspire the fear, that she gets off on the fear. She gets off on the pain. She gets off on the agony. She wants to suck your blood. She's a psychic vampire. And you just say, you can't have my neck this week, Eris. Sorry. No. Now, one of the things that, you know, I always have a little trouble with, but, you know, it is out there. There is evil in the world, right? And I was talking one time to my friend Lynn, and her building's down on 16th Street and 6th Avenue, which had a fabulous view of the World Trade Center when it existed. And so when the Trade Center blew up, she was on the roof taking pictures of it. She's a photographer. She's a really gifted photographer. And she said to me, well, what? And then I had to stop when the demon faces came up. And I said, the what? And she goes, the demon faces. I said, the demon faces? She goes, there were demon faces in the smoke, Anne. I said, really? She goes, well, you know, demons, they know where evil is. They want to go there. They get off on it. They like the evil. I'm like, really? You know? She goes, Google demon faces in the World Trade Center towers. So I came home from dinner or wherever we were when we were talking, and I Googled demon faces, and lo and behold, there were some faces in the smoke, you know, kind of like the clouds have angels and stuff. The smoke had demon faces. And I was like, holy shit. Now, could have been a Photoshopped photo, but she was taking the pictures, and they freaked her out so bad she stopped taking the pictures on 9/11 and went downstairs. You know, there is evil in the world. And evil this week will feel like it's winning, okay? Doesn't win forever. Doesn't win in the long run. In the long run, love wins out. But this is a week where it's going to feel a little bit like evil's winning. And you have to say, okay, part of what has to happen is people have to get so frustrated with evil that they stand up against it. And they say, this has to stop. And that's also what this week is going to do. It's going to make you aware of what you have to stand up against or what you have to say, I don't really want to do this anymore. I want to stop this now. This isn't healthy for me. I can't do it. And if you're in a state of pain, you really do have to say that, because this is the week where the universe is asking you to evolve. Venus in conjunct to the North Node in Sagittarius says, psychologically understand what is going on now. Get the picture. Get the big picture. Move on. Mars into the South Node says, Mars in Gemini, well, there's always a couple ways to change, to do things. What's the methodology you want to choose on this particular situation? Then the next part of that question is, how do you change it? What's the vision? And Mercury is in a nice position. He is slowing, but he also is sextile, or trine, I'm sorry, to Eris as she stops. So what information Mercury picks up from Eris is the same information you're going to get from somebody. So someone's going to turn to you and say, well, you know, the reason this is happening is because they're jealous of you. You know, Eris was pissed off she wasn't invited to that party. That's why she caused the trouble. And you might go, jealous of me? What are they jealous of? You know, or they might say, well, you realize they really don't like you, right? And you go, they don't like me. What did I do? Or, you know, a lot of people badmouth you. And you go, badmouth me? What have I ever done to them? You know, I've never consciously gone out to hurt someone. It's understanding. Mercury's going to tell you the story. and you want to believe him. Okay. Now, they may, you know, whoever's bad-mouthing you may be leaving out part a really important part of the story, such as their behavior that caused you to do something rotten to them or caused you to not be in relationship with them anymore. But you got to kind of recognize that everybody wants to be right also, because it's Leo. Everybody wants to think theirs is the best solution, which, of course, leads to lack of compromise and people kind of going, well, mine's best. It's like, no, there's lots of ways to do things. But this is not necessarily the week to negotiate for that, which, of course, makes the whole debt ceiling thing be going to be really nasty in Washington. But you want to hear what the information is with the Mercury trine to Eris, because it wants to tell you what the underlying story is. Believe it when you hear it. Mercury is telling you the truth. Now, it may be a partial truth filtered through their reality, but the truth is in there somewhere. So you got to kind of look for it, which is why you want to sit in the Discord and get comfortable with it, because then you can peek into the Discord and go, oh, that's what it is. You know, that was a problem right from the start, wasn't it? And it's just kind of gotten bigger, hasn't it? And then you're going to feel much more calm, much less discordant, less provoked, less picked on, less irritated, all to the good. You're not going to bite. You're not going to stand up and say, pick me, you know, kind of like, you know, I always, when I think of the three goddesses lining up to be told who's the most beautiful by the shepherd, I always reminded of brides throwing the bridal bouquet, you know, and all the people jumping for it. And I always would stand there like, I'm not going for that. Man, this is like really humiliating. All the single women in the corner who have to run and knock people over to get the bridal bouquet so they get married next. This is like a really stupid thing. You know, it's that kind of, how do you play when you're in that kind of situation? Do you go for the bridal bouquet? Do you kill people to get it? Then watch Eris stimulate your stuff. If you kind of go, oh, you know, and then somebody who catches it turns and gives it to you, they go, well, you really should get married. You're old, which happened to me once at a wedding. I was like, I don't want this. I didn't even try and catch it. And the only reason I got up here was I kept calling my name on that damn microphone. Understand, Eris wants you to get clear, so pay attention, get clear, give yourself permission to see what you see. Now, included in this whole big week is also a huge rockin' week, because Sun goes into Leo, which is summer, starts officially on Saturday, and we also have the Moon in Taurus on Saturday, which is lovely Moon and Sunday. Now, Taurus Moon on Saturday has a lot of information. So whatever the information is you're getting on Saturday the 23rd, pay attention, because Mercury is really busy that day, and he's passing a lot of information. Monday and Tuesday, the 18th and the 19th, the Moon's closing aspect is a trine to the Sun, which gives it a lot of positive energy about emotional situations. Then the Moon's briefly void for the morning on Wednesday the 20th, and it goes into Aries on the afternoon of the 20th, all day the 21st, and all day the 22nd. It goes void at night, but then it goes through that gauntlet of the T-square, so it gets you clear on what Eris is irritating you about. And then Mercury comes in for a little communication chat with you on Wednesday, kind of like after you have the temper tantrum and you're screaming and yelling and kicking on the floor and your mother tells you to go to your room. You go to your room and you're crying and you're all puffy and you look really ugly. And then like a half an hour after you've stopped crying, they come in and they sit down on the bed and they go, you want to talk about it? So Mercury is going to come to you on Saturday and go, you want to talk about what happened this week? And then on Sunday, you don't have to do anything. It's a void day, no aspects. Everything's kind of quiet and peaceful. So just kind of kick back next Sunday, the 24th. No exact aspects. Not void, but there's no exact aspects. So that's the week ahead, July 18th. The British lady has spoken. I'm going to hang up. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk. It's 90 degrees outside. It's 72 degrees inside because I have air conditioner. So even though the goddess of Discord is trying to make me hot and sweaty, which she did when I was out for breakfast, now I'm nice and cool and chill. So be cool and chill. Sit in front of your air conditioner. Drink umbrella drinks. Don't fight. Understand what the discordant energy is to make you conscious, to help you get clear. Go for it. You're going to have a great week if you just don't go for that golden apple that Paris is going to start the Trojan War in your life. Do not. Don't even get in the line. Even if they call your name on the microphone, don't get in the line. Take care. Have a good week. Bye.